Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth listeners. I am Sandra Bueno, your host and founder, coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. This program is designed to raise awareness, bring empowerment, and foster change by highlighting individuals, leaders, authors, and visionaries who are making a difference and who are stepping up for change, most especially in the lives of youth. Now, how does that look? Every action we take, law we pass, information we share, will directly and indirectly affect our youth today and in their future. And today's guest is someone very special, and she is Commissioner Shelly Vanna, who is serving as Palm Beach County Commissioner District 3 and has been serving since November 4, 2008. She was sworn into office November 18, 2008. She was also first elected to the Florida House of Representatives in 2002, representing House District 85, which included various cities in central and western Palm Beach County. She served as vice chair of the Palm Beach County Legislative Delegation from 2007 and 2008, and Commissioner Vanna also shares a wide array of educational interest as well as service throughout the Palm Beach County school system, different committees, and she has had 24 years of teaching experience. She is also and has been involved with public television and radio as host. She hosted AIDS 101, the first weekly public affairs TV show addressing the AIDS epidemic. She also hosted and produced First Issue, a weekly public affairs radio program. Commissioner Vanna, are you on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and thank you very much. Welcome on the show.
Great, it's nice to be here.
Well, I'm just touched because I know that you actually are very busy, and there is so much that you are involved with that when I did meet you, I met you there was the census that was being carried out for the homeless, and that's where you and I had the opportunity to connect. But
right.
For me as an outsider, you know, I'm just touched because we need to come together as one, and you are here, you know, coming at the, in this platform to raise awareness and to share, you know, your angle and what you are doing. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited about being here, and I know that it's real important that we get a handle on what really is happening in Palm Beach County and that we absolutely have a plan. I know we have a 10-year plan, but we need the funding for it also. So this is one of the things that I said during my campaign that I really wanted to focus on, and I plan on continuing to do that throughout the next 4 years.
Well, let's start with some of the issues, or let's start with some of the programs that you are involved with and what you can share. What I'd like to do is with this show, this half an hour, is be able to have you share your perspective and, you know, with everything that you have in front of you and the rest of the people in our government, what can we do as citizens, what can we do as leaders, as educators, you know, what part can we play so that we can all support going forward and really making a difference where the needs are.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think we have to do first is to figure out what all is out there. And the problem is that there's so much out there that everyone is not coordinating as they should. So that's number one. We have to identify all the places where there are, you know, are people willing to help and programs to welcome, coordinate those programs together so that we can figure out where all the people dropping through the cracks are. And we also, of course, have to get a funding source. But once we, you know, look at all of those things, there are so many people out there that want to help, and there are so many programs that are, you know, ongoing that we really need to get a handle on that. And as a matter of fact, yesterday I was just at a meeting, and some of the players in the community said, well, we have this available and that available, and we didn't know that. We didn't know that. So, it's just surprising to me. You know, I'm new on the commission. I just got elected in November, but I worked on issues in Tallahassee also. The bottom line is that we really have to identify what is out there first, coordinate all of that together, and then, you know, because I think there are a lot of organizations that do participate. Some are readily available. Some have, you know, resources that we are not coordinating and taking advantage of. And I've seen that not just with the homeless situation, but also with, you know, juveniles, with the senior citizens. It's just across the board. We need to really do a better job of coordinating and communicating with each other.
I thank you for saying that, because that gives us, you know, for me, I come from the more of the, okay, we know there are issues, but there are also solutions. But, you know, and I've always abstained from getting political. And, you know, now that I've gotten involved and I've gotten involved with Art and Compassion and seen really what's taking place, you know, deep down in, at the grassroots level, and I'm seeing so many injustices, I'm seeing so much discrepancy, I'm seeing so much, you know, part of it, again, is what you're saying. We need to coordinate these programs, and we need to realize who the players are and who are the people who aren't really playing and who are maybe just looking like they're doing a job, but the service is not being carried out. Because that, you know, right now with our nation and what's going on with the stimulus package and the money that we are to get in our community, if those situations are not brought out to light, then whatever's happening right there, it's only going to increase.
Well, we want to identify what's out there. We want to identify what's working and what's not working. And actually, I've talked to my staff, and we've decided we're going to put up a huge board across one of our walls to put topics on top and kind of coordinate everything that we come in contact with that is working and participating in a particular area of service, so that you know, we can identify for ourselves, just get a handle on what's out there, what's happening. But I've also said that as we go forward, one of the things we have to do is to really identify what's working and what's not working. And, you know, I'm a science teacher, so I understand data. And I know it can be used many ways, but also it's good to know, you know, what is the input, what is the output, and, you know, what's happening as a result of doing some of these programs. So I think there's a huge continuum of what we have to do. And, you know, I've made the county commission a full-time job, so that I can really focus in on that and make sure that I understand, you know, what we're funding, what we're voting on, what we need to do to help. You know, Dade and Broward have a wonderful program, I'm being told, both of those counties, and we're kind of lagging behind, and Palm Beach County really needs to step up.
And it's so amazing, because Palm Beach County is really regarded throughout the entire, you know, the entire nation and within the state of Florida, Palm Beach County, but yet we have so many issues. I mean, I myself have come across certain things that do not match up. For example, just within the, I received a letter from the Florida Department of Education naming the fact that Palm Beach County School District did not meet all of the criteria for the No Child Left Behind Act. You know, and here they're basically urging parents to get involved and that they need new programs. And then on the other end, we have had through that $2.6 billion cut in the budget, all of a sudden, you know, we had cuts in the education field. You know,
one
so
of
there's
that
so
we
many...
worried about in the State House was that, you know, and you may have, many of your listeners may have also read about this, that the state, you know, really did not step up to the plate for education in the past number of years. And because of that, our state might have been at a disadvantage in terms of getting some of the stimulus funding. So it's a problem that goes from the federal level to the state level to the local level. And, you know, I was involved in legislation regarding foster children. And we all know that, you know, part of the homeless situation is foster children aging out of foster care and not having any programs to help them when they're 18. I've had teenagers. I taught high school, and so an 18-year-old certainly is, for the most part, is not prepared to handle life totally on their own financially and everything else, especially in this economy. And so we have a lot of young people out there who just are really falling through the cracks. And it is a funding situation, because when we brought that to the attention of the state, they said, well, we can't change anything because there's just not enough money to go around. So basically, you know, we're willing to let these kids, you know, lose out on their future, and then we pay forever because of that. I mean, some of these things that we have decided to do either at the federal level or the state level in terms of funding or lack thereof cost us more money down the line, and we have to get smarter about how we spend the money on programs so that we do the things that are, you know, most effective and most cost effective too. And that is at the earliest age possible. So those kinds of issues are also things that I'm going to be looking at. And having had the ability to look at it on the state level and know how the state and local and federal interact, I think will be helpful. But it's going to be a big job. I mean, I have no doubt. But my staff is eagerly putting all this together too. We've worked together for main aide has been with me for 6 years, so she knows how I work, and we are relentless. And I have
and
a lot of staff of my other two also that have been with me now. And so I believe we're going to be able to tackle this and at least make a dent.
What I think is really great, and I would like to mention this, is that all we need is one key contact in each sector, in each area, and enough people will rise up together to say, hey, listen, we can take care of this because it is such a huge and it's a humongous project, but in the same sense, there are solutions, and it requires, looking at what's working, looking at what's not working, and like you said, you mentioned the board. Now, is this board available to the public to contribute to that?
No, this is just a board of information to see all of what we want to put up is a bulletin board. This is a very concrete thing where we're going to, every time we come in contact, we will be, listing all of the agencies, all of the people that we've worked with that we know will be, and so we're not going to let anybody out. What's happened, I did a big outreach when we were dealing with the gang issue when it first started, and we were trying to figure out what was going on and why were our children, having access to so much violence. And so we had people, it was going to be a very small kind of get-together. We advertised it, of course, but we thought it would be a small number of people, and it turned out a huge number of people from the community attended. And what we heard that night was the first time it really struck me, how much there is in the community, how much caring there is, how many programs there are that are working or trying to do something to help, and yet no one was connecting with each other. There were there were these big gaps, and everyone had the same message. Now that I've gotten into the county commission, we're seeing the same kind of thing, and so we're gonna have to really, I believe, work very hard to identify every single angle there is. And like I said yesterday, I was just amazed that we had some folks come to the table that hadn't been at the table before, and they said, "Gee, you know what? We have this and this that has been underutilized." Well, if we identify all those things that are underutilized, either, we need to be able to say, okay, how do we utilize all of the resources that we have effectively? And, at that point, when we were talking yesterday, there was a couple, maybe 200-300 new opportunities for housing people that we didn't know we had before, that we weren't coordinating. So hopefully we can, identify more like that and really help. And that's just the beginning, of course, and then we have to coordinate, everything.
But it is raising that awareness for what is available, what's not
oh
working
now. Oh, my gosh.
I agree with you, because the more you start getting involved, for example, I actually want to cross over to what you mentioned before, the homeless issue, which,
yeah.
It's really a situation that most people would like to turn away from. However, it's so indicative of the continuation of issues and how they grow to get to that national level where, right now we need to name it. And I'm going to just share something with you that, you might be aware of, but this is coming directly from the mouth of the people in Palm Beach County, what I've seen. And, this will rise some, that eye where you realize, okay, what are we going to do? There are some people out there who, for example, we're talking about homelessness, and then, of course, you align drug use and drug abuse and, psychological issues, and the fact that there's not adequate housing, the shelters that we don't have, and even transitional homes, people that might just, let's say, especially now with the economy, where you are having people, working poor who all of a sudden are becoming homeless, who they go from their home to the car, and then they lose their car, and now they have to be in the streets. Where do they go? Where does that family, the father?
We talked about that yesterday, the recently homeless. There's a difference in the kinds of needs of folks who are recently homeless. There's a difference in the kind of needs that a young person who's transitioning from foster care but doesn't have that support that he or she needs. You saw at the visit of President Obama in Tampa or wherever they're Fort Myers, and there was this woman who said, "I'm living in my car," and she, cried. And he said, "We're going to try and help you." And you know who I believe who stepped up was a representative from that area that I know, Nick Thompson, and he apparently had an empty house or his family had, and he's helping her. But, you know, it can't take that you have to be able to, you know, speak on a press conference to the President of the United States to get some help.
Exactly.
And so we have to, you know, move forward, and I think we have the ability, you know, the funding issue is such a critical one, though. So I'm hoping that as we move, you know, we move forward with identifying all the players, seeing who's really helping, seeing what kind of things are not being utilized, and looking at what some other areas have done and how they were successful in solving some of these really very, very serious problems. And, you know, it is not just a problem of, gee, I wish we could do something nice for people. This is really humanity. It is what we have to do to be a civilized community, that we don't turn our back on, you know, people who really, really need help. I mean, this says what we are as a community.
Exactly. And what we're talking about with, for example, the homeless issue, the other side of it is this. Okay, some people may be homeless, and then some people may be, on drugs. And these people also collect checks. They collect checks. And, you know, I mean, I've met some of these individuals through Heart and Compassion. And some people who are on drugs, and because they're either self-medicating or they are using that money to go right back out and get more drugs. So it's, you know, it's part of like enabling them and enabling their problem. And then, you know, when you and I met, there was a homeless individual who again, it goes back to the history and what happened in his family and the generational poverty. But again, you know, this person, the only place that he had to go to through Art and Compassion's ability was to go into a detox clinic where this person does not have a drug issue, but now he's going into that element, which is, what is that saying? And all of the work that people have done prior to this one day, all of a sudden can end up, you know, going back to zero. So like you mentioned also the foster youth, there's so much of this happening out there that, you know, some services are provided, but they are not sufficient to really rectify or enable them to be on their own with a skill, you know, in the mindset to say, hey, I can make it on my own.
Well, you know, we have issues. We're trying to get, an assessment center so people can come in off the street and not have to be put in a situation that is not appropriate. And we want to make sure that we can do that, and that we're, you know, it seems like we take a one step forward and two steps back with this. But I think there are enough people, you know, on the commission. I think there are people in the community. I think there are, you know, leaders who have, definitely come to the face-to-face with the issue that this is an issue that we absolutely have to deal with. We cannot keep turning our back on it. And it will make us a more compassionate community. I think it'll make, once we start really talking about the things that have been pushed under the rug, so to speak, I think it will make us a better community. I think it slowly grows to we're nicer to each other, you know, we respect each other, and I think we have to talk about this a lot more, and I don't want to keep sending it back to President Obama, but he has been very eloquent on some of these issues. And, you know, the idea that we do have, you know, this is our watch, and I'm not just saying politicians or leaders, it's our watch. We are here on Earth at this time and in this community, and we all have a responsibility, and it's going to take all of us stepping up to the plate and saying, this is what we expect of our community, and here's what we're willing to do to make it happen. And I guess the question is, are we all going to, and it's a hard time. It's a hard time all over. But I think what I have seen in Palm Beach County, at least, you know, because I was very involved in education, and always, if people were asked to make sacrifices so that, you know, kids could have a chance, our community has always stepped up. So I do think that we have a caring community here, and I think if people are just, in some instances, they are discouraged because there's not an easy way to figure out what to do and how can they help. To your question, you know, can we give? Where can, you know, what can we do? I think it's, you know, as a leader, it's our job to provide that structure or at least identify those informations and then, you know, help to structure the solutions so that everyone who wants to participate can. he wants to do.
See, I believe very much. I do believe very much in passing the baton. And like you said, you know, the leaders and the leadership, the government, you know, it's kind of handing it down so that it finally goes back down to that individual responsibility of what are we going to do if we want to see change forward. And on my from my perspective, I know that, you know, the kids who are out there now, whether they are doing well in school or they're broken families or they have challenges and issues and their future is being cut from them, these are the kids that we need to help, because 20 years from now, they are the ones who are going to be either homeless or either directors or other, you know, creating our world. So I want to be a part of, you know, shaping them going forward. And the only way we can do that is by creating awareness for what needs to change and doing our part. Now, for me, right now, knowing you and having had the opportunity to right now speak with you gives me an idea of, okay, based on what I know, based on what I do, based on what I'm doing, how can I serve you? How can I help you maybe identify those people, those organizations, you know, the issues that some of the organizations might be willing to share with me that necessarily might not have an opportunity to share with you, and now I can translate that and help you, and now, you know, part of your work is maybe curtailed or shortened, and it is about working together.
It is.
And I love you saying that.
You know, absolutely, coordinating everyone who has something to offer. You know, there's my theory always of organizations and leadership is that there's so much work to go around that we should share all of our information and all of our knowledge and all of our, you know, resources so that we can make it all work. And, you know, we have to get out of our silos. That's one of the things I seem to see. It's a theme. But, and I'm not sure that everyone wants to be in a silo. I think, you know, they're in a silo because they don't know how to get out of the silo. And they don't know. So I think we can help to coordinate that too and make this easier for all of us to be able to do. And I agree with you 100% that our one of our big priorities has to be our youth, because there's a future. And if we can get them now and give them the support that they need, we will, you know, first of all, we're going to be doing the right thing. But secondly, you know, there are all kind of great rewards for that, because we're going to have productive members of society who actually be paying taxes for the next 50, 60, 70 years, which is, you know, long-term economically is a wise thing to do, but it is certainly the moral and ethical thing to do, too. And one of the big issues that I think that's going to end some of our crime issues. You know, as we get into that, there's just so many positive results if we can get and definitely coordinating those programs, because that was one of the things that I saw when we did the drug task force meeting that I had, was we just need to coordinate. We need to identify the programs that are working, and we need to get them all together, and we have to find out where we have all the holes where people are falling through the cracks. And we need
to ask
some of those organizations to step up. Once you find out what's missing, I'm sure there are organizations that can fill those needs. We just have to identify. And, you know, my staff has told me over and over again, because we do a lot of constituent work, that, you know, we'll try to call to – we'll get a constituent or a young person or, you know, someone who needs something. We try to mash them up to what they – you know, to – and – often there is a set of circumstances, you know, each program that's out there and each resource has certain characteristics that they, you know, that are requirements to be part of the program or take advantage of the resource. And oftentimes the person who's calling us just doesn't have that magical set of characteristics. We have to figure out a way to make it more user-friendly all the way around so that people who need help can get the help in a timely manner.
And that is so perfect that you said that, because just I attended a juvenile justice program 2 weeks ago. It was a training for the disproportionate minority contact. And sitting next to me was a woman who works with the foster youth, the ones that graduate. And I mentioned something similar to what you said about not having care for them. And she said, no, we actually provide a scholarship for those kids who are foster kids who want to go to school. But again, they must meet specific criteria.
Right.
And these kids, you know, by the time they get to be 18 and 19, they've already passed through the whole system, and, you know, they're involved and they've gotten in trouble. So now these kids can't participate. You know, that's one area.
And the other thing is, when they age out, if they're not in a licensed foster home, they don't qualify for a lot of the state money. which is really unfair because most of those foster children are not, they don't get to pick where they're placed. They get placed in homes, and many people do not want to be licensed because it's so burdensome. And so we have a system that places children in unlicensed care because of there just weren't enough licensed foster care families. And as a result of that, then they are disqualified. And when I complained about it to the state, they said, well, we don't have enough money for all of them anyway. Well, but, you know, that's not an answer. That is definitely not a good answer.
Yes,
so it's
right.
You know, it's very, it breaks your heart to see kids who have all this potential and are not going to have that opportunity when they've already had, you know, a very hard time growing up.
That's right.
I'd
like to ask you a question, and this, again, it's just because it appears, you know, the disparity here, but I attended the Democratic Executive Committee. It was my first time going there. I was invited there 2 weeks ago, and we received this editorial which named Senator Ted Deutch of Delray Beach wants Florida public schools to begin teaching in the sixth grade how contraceptives can help prevent pregnancy and reduce chances of kids getting sexually transmitted diseases. Now, basically, it mentions that the state's current preference for public schools is that they teach kids about the value of abstinence before marriage, and he is wanting to say, no, we need to also teach them about contraceptives. And, you know, the facts is that Florida's HIV and AIDS cases rank the state second amongst the nation, and also the teen pregnancy rates the sixth highest in the nation. And that in itself, I remember about 4 months ago, I attended a Children's Services Council town hall meeting, which the title of it was, Why Are Our Black Babies Dying? And they basically had six focus groups of these youth, teens from like 13 to 17, who were studied. And a lot of the doctors, some of the doctors said black babies were dying because poor nutrition of the mother and the baby, mother's obesity and related problems like diabetes and high blood pressure, cigarette smoking, drug abuse, and lack of access to rehab. Now, the other reasons were stress, not enough money, babies having babies, cannot get health care, transportation, correct information about health, pregnancy, and parenting, quick access to Medicaids. The teens themselves said, most of the teens' moms were 15 through 18 years of age. Some had their first child at age 13. Several knew of women who had lost babies. When asked, why do you think these babies died? The following examples were given. She got into a fight at school when she was 6 months pregnant. Very rough sex caused the baby to die. The babies were born too soon. You know, and this all came from, it's a study that's being done. Eight different studies are being done across the state. It talks about, I mean, this was the area where I just, like, my jaw dropped. Why the teens said they had babies. Getting pregnant is no big deal. Some are competitive about who can have the cutest baby. Some have little hopes for their future and didn't have confidence in what they could do to change that. Some want someone to love them. Some see the baby as a way to collect money. What do you think, based on that letter and based on this?
Well, you know, I work in the science department at the school district, and while I did not participate in their curriculum writing, they updated the sex ed curriculum for Palm Beach County, and they did have much more direct information about contraceptives than had been before. You know, the state was really pushing abstinence only, and Palm Beach County hasn't used abstinence only for a long time that I know of. But the bottom line is we do have very young teens having babies in Palm Beach County. And so to that end, we do need I've been always in the legislature supportive of those bills that said let's give teens the appropriate information to protect themselves. You can tell children that the only 100% way not to have a baby or not to get a sexually transmitted disease is to not have sex. I mean, that's the truth. But the reality is that there are really a high number of young people who will have sex. They will. Certainly from the statistics that we have in Palm Beach County have been proven. So to not give them information that will protect their health and prevent these pregnancies is just, I believe, totally irresponsible. So I don't believe that giving children or young people information is telling them it's good to go out and have random sex. I believe that it's giving them information to protect themselves and save their lives. And I've always wondered, you know, if a child became HIV positive as a result of not having that information, how could you live with yourself?
Yes.
By keeping information from a child. You know, it's amazing to me. And you can still tell a child what your moral beliefs are. Every parent has a right to do that. But I do think information is very important. And who would, in reality, want to have a child denied information to keep them alive or keep them healthy?
What keep them from having other
keep
babies.
From them? Yeah. But, I mean,
and
just from a health point of view, it just seems to me so irresponsible and so morally bankrupt to keep children in ignorance about something that could keep them from contracting a life-threatening disease. I mean, that is the bottom line. You know,
Commissioner,
I don't know how
you
possibly... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I thank you because, you know what, for me, I come from the personal development angle, which is, you know, okay, values and beliefs. Why are we doing what we're doing? And I see that this is really an area where, and it also involves faith, you know, the whole faith and this whole issue of God not being in the schools. I mean, I attended Dillard High School, and I spoke to a counselor right after the death of the 15-year-old girl a few months back. And the first thing she said to me, she said, once they took God out of the schools, we cannot speak to our kids. And surprisingly, when I went outside and saw the shrine that these girls had created for the other girls, there were three letters on the glass which talked about, you know, bringing God back into the schools. And it was amazing because, again, you mentioned it before, you know, it is about, you know, the beliefs and the morals, but it's also, you know, self-respect and self-awareness and why should not go out there. So, you know, I agree. I thank you. I thank you for sharing that with us because it opens up a door to be able to you know, to contribute more. So I we've come down actually to the end of our show. So I'd like to just thank you very much. It goes very fast. And can you give us your contact information so people can just, if you want, and then they send you.
You can find me on, you can call me at 355-2203. That's the phone number. And if you just go on Palm Beach County government, you can find all the commissioners. And you just click on our picture. And it'll take you to our website, and you can contact us through that. So you can get everybody. Which,
contact
me is good, but it's always good to contact the other six also because, you know, we're a team.
Well, you know what?
I think everybody wants
you out
of job.
I'm not going to cheat you out of two questions. I definitely have to get these two questions. One, I do want to ask you, if you could counsel with President Obama or his cabinet, what would you like them to know?
I think I would like them to know that we need to really work hard on education, and we got to revamp No Child Left Behind. That would be one.
Okay. If you had one, do you have two?
No, I think that's my main one right now, that that's something that we really have to fix because it has totally either fund it or change it, but we can't continue to do what we're doing with our kids right now.
Excellent. And now, curiosity, do all commissioners work together?
Well, we're not allowed to talk to each other about issues before we vote on them, before a meeting because of the Sunshine Law, but I have been very pleasantly surprised at the cooperation that once we're on the DS and we're talking about issues, it really does seem that everybody is pretty much on the page. We may not agree on every single thing, but as we work together to find solutions, it seems like it's quite cordial and quite cooperative. So I'm happy
Excellent.
To see that.
Well, I should have asked you this question. I told you too, but I should have asked you this question from the beginning. So I went backwards. I began with the end in mind. So, but
That's
the question
amazing.
Was, just for clarity, what does the commissioner do?
Oh my gosh, we do so many things. First of all, we'll be working on the budget, which is going to be huge this year. But we vote on land use plans and zoning and almost everything that touches an individual's life, we have something to say about. We don't technically, you know, write the education laws or anything like that. That's the big policy issues up in Tallahassee. But the nitty-gritty of how all of those laws impact us and what we do, how our community is going to grow, what kind of environment are we going to have. That all is part of the County Commission. And we have so many departments in the government that we basically kind of do the policy on, that almost everything from your parks and recreation programs to traffic to where's a red light, those big policy, we don't actually make every decision, but we set the policy for all of those things. And how we kind of work with other members of the community. I serve on the Green Task Force. I serve on we have a homeless committees. We have child development, workforce alliance. There's so much. There's almost every aspect of your life is impacted in some way or another by our decision.
Well, no wonder you have to mention your staff working with you and your assistant, because you definitely need a few more of yourself to go around with everything that you have on your plate. Well, thank you again for being with us and sharing this information and being open to stepping up and aware and just, you know, informed and keeping this this door, you know, something that is welcoming to all of us. So thank you again, Commissioner Urbana, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
And thank you for what you do. It's been great to be on.
Thank you.
Take care.
Great. Have a great day. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a presentation with Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth. And again, it is about stepping up, making a difference. If you believe in something, take action. We cannot sit and just watch things go by when you are not in agreement. And in order for us to make a difference for our children, we need to become aware, take responsibility, and become empowered through knowledge as well as action. You heard Commissioner Urbana. Go online, connect with her, connect with her team, and just support change.